7. And we're in Galatians chapter 3, about 6 through 9. We'll touch on verse 6 or verse 10, but not really get into it. I'll go ahead and read. Galatians 3, starting at verse 6. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. The last few classes, we had sort of been looking at, you know, verses 5 and 6. And, you know, looking at that power that worketh in you. How we said that, not working miracles, but the power which worketh in you doeth it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. And we've been looking at that basis of faith. The basis of the faith of Abraham. And, you know, the basis he looked for the seed. And that's what we were talking about, the coming of the seed of promise, and in whom all nations shall be blessed. And then we went to Romans 4, and was looking at that. We'll go back over to Romans 4. But all this from the view from Paul in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, Christ liveth in me. But even the step back from that, you could say that Christ was Paul's life unto God. And see, I think that's the thing, that's the whole, you know, I always think of this word direction. And you know, these people, I mean, they, you know, are trying to live unto God, trying to live. Well, that's why Paul would say, I'm crucified. Now, Christ is how I live unto God. Christ is my life unto God. Christ is my righteousness, you know. And by that, Paul says, I live in this body that you see, just like we live in this body that we see. We live in, I mean, because, you know, we talk about all that stuff, translated and all that other stuff. What we're talking about is relationship, because I'm still me. I'm still bald-headed and in this body. I didn't go anywhere, but Paul says, the life I now live in this body, in this flesh, I live differently. I live by the faith of the Son of God. And you know, we'll look at that at another time. But Paul says, I'm now out of the picture. It's not me living unto God now. Christ lives unto God. And I live by the faith. I live by beholding the one who lives unto God. I mean, Paul would, you know, Philippians and in other places, he said, well, I thought this body was how I was supposed to live unto God, because I was supposed to do righteous things. You know, I thought in this body was where I would find my righteousness. So that we were all kept under that by doing the deeds of the law. So we were trying to find that righteousness. Paul said, we live by faith now. We live beholding the righteousness of God. It's not me. It's totally other than me. It's Christ who lives in me. And I'm gonna go over here to Romans just a second. We were in Romans 4. I want to hit this verse again. Romans 4 and verse 18. We're going to go forward and backwards. Romans 4 and 18. Who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And and be not weak in the faith. Consider not his own body now dead. Now see, that was a play on words. What it's actually saying in that verse is he fully considered his own body dead. It wasn't, we talked about this, it wasn't the power of positive thinking. Well, I know my body's not dead, but I'm just going to keep believing it is. He knew and fully considered that his body was not able to bring about this promise. Abraham knew that he could not do it. But Abraham's expectation was in something that was not seen. You know, this comes right out of that Hebrew writer. His expectation was based on this. If God promised it, then God will do it. Consider not his own body dead. He looked and said, well, God promised it. I cannot do it. God promised it. God will do it. Abraham wasn't believing in his capacity to do it. And I think it's so important because if you just think about this, and this is just a little side note. Abraham considered his body dead. Now you think about this because this is half our Christian prayer. God promised a seed. God brought about that seed. He done it without any of man's efforts. Notice how Jesus was even brought into the natural world without any effort of man whatsoever. He was born of a virgin. And I just think, you know, that's just a little side note. But Abraham, knowing, not saying, well, God, I hope you'll give me strength to make this happen and to perform this. He knew that he could not. He had no capacity that God promised that God was going to bring about. Abraham was so steadfast in that promise that he could look at his body being dead. And he wasn't staggered at all. It says he staggered not at the promise. And remember we talked about that word staggered means to go between two expectations. Double-minded man. Staggering between, I think I can do it. Or I hope God does it. You know, I hope God, you know, staggered back and forth. Abraham knew God promised it. God's going to do it. No need for me to get involved here, but to set my expectation on the one that he's promised. And see, that's where I think, well, it's not where I think. I know that we have to come to that place knowing it's not in our ability. It never was in our ability. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. We cannot do it. And I think that's something we really got to, you know, just thinking of our stuff for tomorrow. I think that's something, you know, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit. That's the only way that anything is going to come about. By my spirit, saith the Lord. And you know, that goes back to that verse 5. How does he work in us? By his mighty power, which worketh in us. And that mighty power works in us. On the basis of what? Works in us on the basis of faith or on the basis of the seed, which is Christ in you, all that he is, being made into you all that he is. And that's here, Paul would say that in Philippians. When Paul was talking about righteousness, touching the law, blameless, but what things was gained to me I counted loss. But here's what he says in verse 9, to be found in him. Paul had fully considered concerning righteousness. He had considered himself, a wretched man that I am. He had done a full survey of his own body and he realized in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. It's not that he could say, hey, well, I did this good, I did this right. And that's why he would say, what I want now is to be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, not having anything that I'm bringing, not having any ability to perform anything. My own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. And see, that's what the Judaizers wanted the Galatians to do. They wanted the Galatians to consider themselves and say, you can do it. Here's what you need to do. You need to be circumcised. Need to keep the law. You need, you know, stop eating this. Stop going here. Stop doing that. Start doing this. You see, they wanted, if you, and you know, Galatians, if you'll do all this, then you will become righteous. You will be acceptable unto God if you'll start doing. I mean, this is just modern day church, isn't it? I mean, it's nothing any different. Let me go back over here to Romans. Romans 4:16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace. Notice how it is. Therefore it is of faith. It is of faith that it might be by grace. See, man under man-made laws, man-made tradition, man-made religion, works of the flesh, they always keep you bound to the externals. They keep you bound. That's why Jesus come preaching to the Jews and says, you shall know the truth. The truth will make you free. And their very thing was, what do you mean? We have never been in bondage to anyone. Well, you're in bondage to your own tradition. You're in bondage to works of the flesh. You're in bondage. You're in bondage because when you're bound to the traditions and the externals and all those other things, you got the wrong face in view. You got the wrong man in view. And you're bound to the wrong face. That's why, you know, Paul is always, you know, when I'm crucified, that means Paul's face is out of the picture now, and he's seeing who is the righteousness of God. Faith sees and is fixed on the face of Christ. Faith beholds the reality of grace, which is what? Christ in you. Christ in us. Christ made unto us all that he is. And if we're not of faith, what are we doing? If we're not of faith, then we're frustrating and making void the grace of God. See, there's no middle ground. You're either of faith or you're against it. You know, there was no neutral Switzerland country here. And you know, Paul here in Romans is wanting to tell them again. Remember, Abraham received the promise before he was ever circumcised. Before he was circumcised, he received the promise. So Abraham, yes, he was circumcised, but that was a external sign or a seal of the faith that was already working inward in him. So the inward is, that must take place. And yes, there will be external effects, but we go about it backwards most of the time. We try to make the external effects control the inward, and it's backwards. And when you start to look for the external effects, you start to imagine what they will be. And then you start giving them definitions to, well, I know if old Johnny was born again, he wouldn't act like that. You know. I know if old so-and-so was, you know. So we start giving them, well, I know if he was born again, you know, he'd start dressing right. You know. Gosh, I know if he was born again, they'd let their hair grow out. They'd quit, you know. You know, you can just go on and on because you give it your outward definition and then you go with it from there. And it'll always be a mess. Christ must be seen. Christ must be experienced. Because, and now I'm going back to Galatians. Galatians 3 and 7. Now, well, let me read 6. Even as Abraham believed God, it was counted him to righteousness. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. Paul is telling the Galatians, you got to know this. This is absolutely vital. You can't go any farther in your understanding till you know this. If not, Galatian people and whoever's reading this people, you will allow this people, the Jews, who are boasting in a natural lineage, to make you believe that natural lineage has more validity than spiritual reality. Because isn't that what the Jews' boast was? We got Abraham, our father. We're the chosen of God. We're the elect of God. Now you Gentiles, yeah, God said, had grace on you. And, you know, we recognize that. But that was so that you could be like us. And start keeping the law. And bringing your lambs and, you know, that the natural lineage would have more validity than the spiritual. Well, that sounds crazy. You know, let me go over here to John and show you a couple scriptures. John chapter 8. Because that was the argument of the two seeds. John chapter 8, 33. This is right after Jesus said, you shall know the truth will make you free. Make you free. They answered and says, we're Abraham's seed. Jesus, I don't know who you think you are. Talk about this freedom stuff. It sounds so odd, but I grew up in that very mindset. I don't know who you think you are, but we're it. We're the church, and the rest of y'all are all fake. We're the real it. And it, see, that's why Paul said, know ye therefore. He said, look, guys, Jews, Gentiles, bond, Scythian, free, alcoholic, drug addict, does not matter a bit. Nothing availeth anything but faith which worketh by love. Those that be of faith are the children of Abraham. So faith is this whole thing is going to be based on faith. Nothing else. He's cutting it all away and he says to the Galatians, you got to know this. Because these Jews had the same argument. Listen, we're the seed. Look at verse 39. Jesus is speaking to them about their being in bondage and referring them back to Isaac and the bondwoman, and Ishmael had to be cast out. But they answered and said, Abraham is our father. Listen, we're the seed because Abraham is our father. What did Jesus say? Well, let me give you verse 52. And when I was reading this today, I thought, wow. Then said the Jews. Well, let me back up. You know, he said, you're of your father, the devil, and he's making all that. Verse 51, verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. That sounds, wow. See, we look for those things in the externals, but now you start to see it because we never see death because we're not holding the man of death. Adam's the man of death. We're beholding Christ. We're not going to look back on death. We're going to behold him who is our life. Then said the Jews unto him, now we know that he has the devil because Abraham's dead. I mean, he says that right there when I thought, my God, Abraham was their faith. Jesus even told them You know, the one scripture, he said he's the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. Abraham's dead. We're his seed. You see what I mean? Abraham's dead. We're it. Abraham's our father. And then Jesus, he answers them right here in verse 56. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and was glad. What Jesus is saying, I was the one single desire of your father. You boasted in your father Abraham, and you reject the very subject of the thing he looked for, because he looked unto me. He saw my day, and I'm standing here, and you're telling me you're of your father Abraham. Abraham's faith saw me, and I'm standing here, and you're rejecting me. You're rejecting the very subject of his faith. Now, some think in Paul's writings that Paul, in all of his writings, he wrote mostly to the Gentiles. And the Gentiles never had the law, did they? Gentiles didn't have the law. They didn't have the tabernacle. Matter of fact, they weren't even allowed in there. But yet, Paul is telling them that the Gentiles have received the substance that the law pointed to. He's telling the Gentiles and the Jews that would receive it, you've received the end of the law for righteousness. You've received the end, the fulfillment of everything which the law spoke. You've received it. Because what Paul would be saying here is God only has one reality. And it didn't matter if you were a Jew or a Gentile. He didn't have a different reality. Okay, Jews, y'all do this. See, that's the way people think today. God's got a covenant with the special people. Then he's got another covenant with the Christian church. He only has one. And really, the only covenant God has is, man, I will give you as a covenant for the people. I mean, that was talking about Christ. Christ is the covenant. There is nothing else. So, he didn't have one reality for Jews, one reality for Gentiles. So, Paul could declare to both Jews and Gentiles that the law is fulfilled in this way. Christ is now in you. Everything that God has spoken of is fulfilled. Christ in you. And there is nothing else to declare what God testified of in these many ways and diverse manners, and spoke to the prophets and all of those things. His Son is the embodiment and the perfection and the amen of everything God had ever said. And that man is in you. See, Paul is bringing it out of the realm of the flesh. He's not preferring Jews over Gentiles, or he's not mad at the Gentiles, are not mad at the Jews and picking the Gentiles over the Jews. You know what I mean? He's not preferring anybody over anybody. To Paul, neither mattered but faith. Those that are of faith are the children of Abraham. You must know this, Galatians. Those that are of faith. It's not a natural lineage thing. And that word, let me go back over to Galatians. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, of is the word there, and it means the source of your relationship, the source of your blessings, the source of your everything. It's not in the works of the flesh. Your source is faith. And that faith is the faith that beholds Christ as your everything. And the gospel brings us from faith to faith. And you know, we looked at that in Romans, the gospel from faith to faith. I'd even drew a line. I kind of made a little draw on my paper, but We talked about this before. Here's Abraham, and he's first called out, and they're walking by faith. And you know, we talked about the law was given because of transgression. The law couldn't make void the promises, so the law was like the parentheses. So they're walking by faith, and then all of a sudden, they quit walking by faith. Why did they quit walking by faith? And I was looking at this in a natural, because in a natural, faith, well, they were actually beholding something naturally, right? Abraham actually was beholding Isaac. Even though by faith he beheld Isaac, because he knew Isaac was pointing to Christ. But he's actually beholding Isaac. And then Isaac begets Jacob. So Jacob's name is changed to Israel. But Israel starts then to become a people, right? Now when Jacob and his 12 sons, they start to produce. Well, all of those sons are doing what? Looking at their father. So you see, faith has still got a, even in the natural realm, a vision. And who was the one who was set from Jacob's sons to be their ruler? Joseph. So now they have Joseph as their set guy. So it didn't matter wherever they went. They were prospering. And even though the famines come, they all had plenty. And even though they're in the land of bondage, they're not in bondage. They're living in the best land in Goshen. Everything is good. But then I was looking, well, when did they quit walking by faith? Exodus chapter 1, verse 6, Joseph died. Joseph died, and how did it say that? Joseph died, and his, let me look here real quick. When I looked at it, I said, well, yeah, there it is. Joseph died, and all his brethren, and all that generation. See, every single one who was walking by faith, dead. They had nothing in view. And when they had nothing in view, what was left? Bondage. Slavery. Bondage, slavery, and death. So the law was given because they had went away from that. And the law's object was to bring them back to faith, which faith's object was the seed that was to come. See, now they had been in transgression so long that they were now saying, I'm not looking for the seed anymore because I'm it. Well, it sounds like Christianity today, don't it? Now I'm it. God wanted me to be it. Man, that's exactly what the Jews said. We're not looking to Jesus anymore. We're it. Man, it's up to us to change the world, bring about all this great thing and transform it all. We're it. God, just give me the power and we'll go do it. No? No? And you remember we had read in Romans when Paul made mention of the fact, was there advantage to being a Jew? Absolutely, in every way. The law, the oracles of God, the prophets, the testimony, the tabernacle, it was all given to the Jews so that they would recognize him when he stood there. But here in Matthew, think about this. Here in Matthew chapter 3, here's old John the Baptist. He's out there baptized. And I'll start in Matthew 3 and 6. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, I'm glad to be with you. I hope you'll listen to me. Holy Ghost starts laughing. Imagine this. He's saying this to these religious people who are arguing with Jesus, telling them we're the seed. And he says, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance, and think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. Isn't that what they were saying? Hey, Jesus, Abraham's our father, we're the seed. He says, don't you dare boast that Abraham is your father, for I say unto you, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Remember, this is all from this verse 7. Know ye therefore about the children of Abraham. Those are the children by faith. I mean, here's John the Baptist saying, look, guys, what good is the testimony and the oracles of God and the tabernacle and the slain lamb and the blood on the door? What good is all of that if you will not receive the one to whom it's pointing to? What good is the testimony? So don't boast. He's able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Let me say it in a stronger way, what John is telling these people. God doesn't need you as a people to make his promise of a seed to Abraham true. Now, I mean, he's telling these people, look, God doesn't need you to bring forth the promise that he promised Abraham. As a matter of fact, to just show you, I'm going to do it by bringing forth a woman, bringing forth of a woman who's a virgin. I don't need you. And you're going to sit here and boast? Remember in the Romans when we were reading, he said, where is boasting then? It's excluded. Where is boasting then, Jews? You're the seed. Where is your... Do not dare come in here boasting that God needs you to bring forth anything. First confession out of your mouth is you need to realize you cannot nor ever could. Only thing you was here for was to be a partaker of his goodness. You wasn't going to be the means of it. Let me show you back over here in Romans. Back over in Romans 3. You know, he talked about that advantage. What advantage is it hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, chiefly because that unto them were committed the oracles of God. But then here he's making the same argument. For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? Okay, here comes Jesus, and okay, the Jews don't believe in him. And then we just have to stop right there and say, well, it's all null and void. God, you did the best you could, but they just wouldn't believe, so start again. I mean, if John done that, he would have stopped writing in the first bit of John when he came to his own received him not. Just stop right there and say, well, guys, it's over. It's all pointed to Jesus. Here come Jesus. They wouldn't receive him, so nothing else to write. Does their unbelief make void this promise? Absolutely not. God said he was going to send forth his son, and he did it. Whether you believed it or not, didn't make it true or didn't make it of none effect. Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true and every man a liar. Wow, what a statement. God promised, God delivered. Now see, if we could just get a hold of that. God promised, God delivered. Not going to. Not one of these glad days delivered. God promised it, God delivered it. What else is there for him to do? See, because it was never about the nation of Israel anyway. It was about the person whom they pointed to. It was the person whom they were a testimony of. The promise without the person is what? Nothing. Promises, promises, promises. You ever heard it? Promises, promises, promises. Well, that's the church world today, isn't it? Promises, promises, promises. Well, listen, God promised it. God brought it about. Now, are you partaking? Are you living in him? Or are you frustrating the grace of God wherein you've been brought? I mean, listen, I'm going to throw some stuff at you right here. It's real heavy. At best, the promise without the person is what? At best, it's an unfulfilled testimony. Still waiting, right? That's at best. At best, an unfulfilled testimony. I'm still waiting on some glad day to fulfill. What is it at its worst? I mean, if I haven't put it to its end, it's got another deep dark side. I'm going to tell you, that dark side at its worst, it becomes a perversion. It becomes the very Antichrist. Because now it's standing in place of what it was supposed to point to. I mean, that's what the whole system had become when it rejected the one whom it pointed to. You see what I mean? It was all pointing to Christ. Now here comes Christ as the substance of it, and they won't receive the substance of it, so now they just step back, and now they say, we're the seed. We're it. They become the very Antichrist itself. And the Antichrist is not a person. It's not a Muslim. It's that whole old system. That's hard for people to get because people still think it's got to have a man's name on it. Well, it was that. I mean, you know, we had looked at that one Wednesday night about the serpent and the law and the devil and all that and what it all. It was that whole system. This testimony without Christ is Antichrist because it'll testify of you. Put you in place of it. That's what they did. And that's the subtlety. Paul said that was the subtlety of the whole devil anyway, wasn't it? All we got to do is just get you in view and think this is all pointing at you, and you'll sit there in the temple and, you know, think you're it. Antichrist was just rejecting the substance of whom it pointed to. And that's why he says here, think not to say to them, we have Abraham to our father. He's able to raise up of these stones, children unto Abraham. Well, what's he saying? And now the axe is laid to the root of the trees. Every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Axe is laid into the root. What was that axe? That was the cross that brought down that whole system. I indeed baptize you with water to repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand. He will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. He's talking to those Pharisees and Sadducees who boasted in them being the seed of Abraham, but rejected the very substance of Abraham's faith. You want to see an amazing verse? Look at verse 13, the first three words. Then cometh Jesus. Now, can you imagine this? Here he is, John the Baptist. The Sadducees, the Pharisees are boasting in Abraham. He's calling them a generation of vipers. The axe is about to be laid to the root. He's going to baptize you with spirit and with fire. He's going to purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner. Then cometh the substance of the whole thing Abraham's faith was pointing to anyway. Right there's the very substance. Right there's the very seed you're claiming to be is standing right there. There was an introduction to something real. They boasted in the natural testimony. They boasted in the natural bloodlines. But John took it out of the natural when he said, then cometh Jesus. Behold the Lamb of God. Who's doing what? Putting the axe to the root of that tree. He's having no relation to that anymore. See, Jesus, he came, you know, we read this in Daniel, I think, when it said he came to confirm the covenant. And, you know, this began, of course, with his natural miracles. What was he doing? He did that with the Jews because he wasn't going all over the place. Sometimes there was Gentiles involved. You know, with the Roman soldier, the centurion and his son, and the Phoenician, Syrophoenician woman. But all these other things he did was to the Jews. He came there confirming the covenant for 3.5 years, healing people, restoring the blind, giving sight to the blind, curing the lepers, cleansing the lepers, raising up the dead. What was he doing? He was confirming the covenant that it was promised to Abraham. I'm it. I mean, when he's cleansing the lepers, yes, there was an outward manifestation, but he's saying, look, you lepers were outside, cut off. You're put outside of the gates. That's the way you were your whole life. But I will be your cleanliness. I will be your cleaning. I will wash you thoroughly. I will purge you from your sins. I will be your light. You were blind. You were all, if you come to me and confess your blindness, I will give your sight. I will be your sight. Though you be dead in trespasses and sins, I will quicken you. I will raise you up. I will be your life. Confirming that covenant. What's he saying? He was saying, if you would by faith come to me and receive me. And who was it to? To those who received him. To those who received him as their sight, as their healing, as their fullness, as their cleansing. These are the children of Abraham. The Jews had made it all about themselves. They thought they were object of the whole thing. John, he says there in John, but no, you're not the object. Jesus said, but you won't come to me. You're looking for life. You think it's all about you, but you won't come to me that you might have the life that I promised, because I am that life. And then let me go back over here to Galatians. Galatians 3:8, and the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. He preached the gospel to Abraham. That's the gospel, what? That in thy seed all nations should be blessed. Now here's something, I don't know if you ever thought about this. The gospel came before the law. My God, the promise came before the law. The gospel came before the law because he preached unto Abraham 430 years before the law was here. The gospel was preached to Abraham. In thy seed shall all nations be blessed. The promise was given before the law. See, the law was never the point. The law was given because of transgression. The law was never, hey, you know, I've heard people say that. Well, I'm so glad God gave them the law because that's a good moral code to live by. Well, it's not a moral code to live by. You cannot. That's what the law does when it's applied to the wrong man, becomes antichrist. Thinking that's a good moral code to live by. I mean, it ought to be, as Paul said, but oh, wretched man that I am is what it ought to bring you to, a schoolmaster to bring you to Christ, not, oh, that's a good moral code to live by. So this gospel was preached, what? Concerning a seed in which all nations, Jews and Gentiles, all nations would be blessed. And what's the blessing then? The blessing, you know, I just think it wasn't David that said, blessed is he whose sins are not counted. You could go on and on and on with the blessing, but basically, Paul summed it up in Philippians. Here's the blessing to be found in him. To faith, we access what? The grace in which we stand. So the blessing is to be found in him. Be partakers of who he is. So the gospel declares a promise, and now the gospel declares the consummation of that promise. See, the gospel to Abraham was, I'm going to give you a son. Remember, Abraham saw my day and rejoiced and was glad in it. The gospel was preached to Abraham concerning his seed. You will have a seed, and in that seed shall all nations be blessed. And now the gospel declares the consummation of that promise, which is what? Christ in you is the fulfilling of that promise. So it's the gospel that brings you from faith to faith. That's why Paul would say, I marvel. You're so soon removed from the gospel to another gospel, which is not a gospel at all. Because Paul's gospel had this seed in view. Paul's gospel had Christ in view, always. And in verse 8, he says, the scripture foreseeing. The scriptures predicting. The scriptures foreseeing, foreknowing, foretelling how God would justify not only the Jew, but the Gentile too. See, they thought they were justified because they brought their lamb, because they kept the Ten Commandments, because they didn't walk over a mile on the Sabbath day, because they didn't cook on the Sabbath day, because they didn't, you know, heal on the Sabbath day. They didn't gather corn on the Sabbath day. They thought that's how God would justify them. But the scriptures testifying how God would not only justify the Jew, but justify the Gentile too. The same faith that was promised to Abraham. The scriptures gave proof of this. Now we could go right here to Hebrews and look, and it gives us another tale right here. For unto us was the gospel preached as well, I'm in Hebrews 4:2, as well as unto them. Notice, this same gospel was preached to us, and was preached to them. Because the gospel is always about a seed, isn't it? It's about Christ. But the word preached did not profit them. Had no effect. Why? Not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. They wouldn't enter into the land, not mixed by faith. I had to go do a little study on that word, not mixed. Not being mixed. It sounds like an oxymoron because we're always talking about don't mix the seed. But not being mixed. And some of the commentaries would say it this way. Not being mixed with those who heard it by faith. In other words, they weren't of the same spirit of Joshua and Caleb, because this has to do with the Numbers 13. Go into the land, send spies into the land, they come back. Remember, they were of a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb was of a different spirit. Joshua and Caleb was of faith. The other 10 were not of faith. So theirs wasn't mixed with faith. Joshua and Caleb knew they had the same thing. Hey, God promises this land, God will give it to us. Theirs was like, hey, I don't know. Yeah, I thought God promised it to us, but there's a lot of big people. Not mixed with faith, because faith doesn't have I in view. I'm crucified. I'm living by that. God said it. He'll do it. Now God said it, and he's done it, and that seed is in you. Faith must be mixed with all we hear. Faith, what is faith? I mean, faith concerning the seed. To make the word of God effectual to our salvation. They looked and said, we cannot. They staggered at the promise, didn't they? You know, when I was going back and looked, they staggered at the promise. And then what did they say? Let us make a captain. We're going back. The gospel always had the seed in view. There was a seed promised to Abraham. There was rest promised to Abraham, wasn't it? There was a rest promised to the people of God. In him, all nations would be blessed, but they didn't enter into that rest because they didn't mix it with faith. So here we go again. Look at verse 9. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. They which be of faith are blessed They which be of faith. So then they which have their source in the seed, they which have their relationship in Christ, they which find their righteousness in Christ, they which find their holiness in Christ, they which find their life in Christ are counted as the seed. They see their incapacity. They see their limitation. But they see in the face of Christ as Him being their all in all. You see the difference? But they are blessed with faithful Abraham. What does that mean, blessed with faithful Abraham? Blessed with faithful Abraham. And with here is not the word meta in the Greek. It's the word soon, and it means in union with. They are blessed in union with Abraham. Now remember what I told you. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of the living, not the God of the dead. But it says they that are of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Now why does he say they're blessed in union with Abraham? Because we are now in Christ. We are now in a living union with the same seed Abraham looked for. With the same seed Abraham's in union with. Now I gotta throw some stuff at you. Hebrews 11. You know, Hebrews 11 is about faith. By faith Abel offered. By faith Abraham. You know, Abraham looked for a city. And, you know, by faith Moses. And we go through this whole thing. And in verse 39 it says, all these, and these all, it says, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. In other words, they had faith. Their faith was in a coming Christ. Receive not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, let's just go to the rapture scriptures. I don't know where I'm going. 1 Thessalonians 4. For this we say unto you, by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. Prevent, that's a strange Greek word, but it means to go ahead. We're not going to go ahead. Now remember, all these having obtained a good report through faith, they didn't receive the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. They without us shall not prevent them. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Now think about what I'm telling you. That right here in Galatians, blessed with faithful Abraham. Think about what I told you right here in Thessalonians. Not prevent them. That means everybody, nobody's going ahead of anybody for any blessings, right? They that were all of faith, they didn't come into this thing before we did. They didn't receive the promise. God providing some better thing for us than they without us. So in other words, gather them all up together. Gather them all up together. We didn't go ahead of them. They didn't go ahead of us and get something first or something other than. We're all in union together with the same substance that their faith was. They didn't receive the promise because the promise hadn't come yet. But when the promise came, they now, along with us, are partakers of the same reality. Do you see what I mean? When Christ raised up from the dead, you remember them dead bodies they saw them in the streets. of the prophets, and they were walking around the streets, and they were like, good gosh, we know them guys are dead, and now they're back alive. They was brought into the same reality all at one time. What Paul is, he's telling the Thessalonians and stuff, this thing hasn't come yet into your reality, but this thing is already so. Because this thing will only be a reality in your heart when? In the coming of the Lord. Or what? When the Lord appears. When the Lord appears, then that reality will be, look, you and Abraham and David and Isaac are all in the same place, in the same reality, and Christ is all your life. You've been called up together, and what? So shall you ever be with the Lord. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, we're caught up in union with Christ. We're caught up in heaven. And what is that heaven? We've been saying it's that relationship. It's not a place. It's a relationship. And where are you? You're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. We all have the same thing. And what is the same thing that we all have? Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Jim and Olegay and Tim and Denise. What is it we all have? Christ. There wasn't nothing else. There wasn't, well, I got blessings of a bigger car. I got blessed with a beautiful voice. I got blessed with a lot of hair. I got blessed with no hair. No, he says, nobody got one thing different than another. The blessing, this is how God loved the world. He gave. This is how God loves you. You can partake of his love. What else could he give besides the Son of his love? What greater thing could he give? I mean, look at Hebrew, or look at Ephesians here. Hebrews 1 and 3. Blessed be the God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ unto himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace. Think of all these wonderful things he's bringing in view, all these promises, the blessings. Remember, all nations shall be blessed. This is how we started out, with the blessings, wasn't it? Blessings. So he's telling us, he made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation, or in the administration of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. He took all that of the old, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, and then he brought all of that of the new, Paul and Peter and John and James and you and me, and gathered them all together in one. Where at? In Christ. So shall we ever be with the Lord. And none can pluck out of his hands. You see? Even in him. That's the object of faith. A car is not the object of our faith. Money is not the object of our faith. Money is not the seed. Christ is. If it's anything other than Christ, it's not faith. Faith sees Christ. Faith sees him as the embodiment of everything God said. Everything they all look for, he's it. That's what faith sees. They saw it afar off. We see him as a present reality. That's why the next verse here in Hebrews, he says, for as many are of the works of the law, in verse 10, are under the curse. Why are they under the curse? They are in the man who's cursed. They're trying to live in this reality of live unto God by attempting to do it outside of the boundaries or outside of the context of reality And you know, we said there's boundaries to this thing. We, you know, we started out, who separated me. We talked about the boundaries. They're trying to do it outside of the boundaries to this thing, the boundaries of faith. The boundaries of faith in Christ. It's about faith. A faith beholding Christ as all things and never looking outside of Him for anything. And I'll say this and I'll close. The only reason people are looking for something better. Now think about this. Think about what I'm telling you. God has given you His Son. People are looking for something better. They call it a day. They call it a heaven. They call it whatever. It's got many names. Why in the world would they be looking for something better than Christ? Because they obviously have not seen Him. Because God has given the very best of the best of the His combination of everything, and He has freely given Him. And faith beholds, faith looks to that one. So if you're looking for something else another day, you obviously haven't seen Him. If you're looking for another time, another heaven, another city, another, you obviously are not beholding Him. You are obviously not seeing what you have. I'm not saying not seeing what you don't have. I'm saying you are not seeing what God has already given. You are not seeing where God has already brought you. Denise says this over and over, and it's a strong, true statement. Why are you eating out of the trash cans? Why? When God has fully provided everything in His Son. There's nothing else for Him to provide. He's already given. And it's whosoever will, let him come.